All righty, Elida, with you. Our number is toll-free, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. My friends, this is not an investment show. We don't do that. This isn't a sports show. But when something deals with a bigger, overarching issue, that's what I'm interested in. There's a fellow named Doug Roberts, and the book is called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And if you go to our website at linaonline.com, you will get a link to that. And it's a wonderful roadmap, if you will, towards financial success and strategic plans regarding investing and the like, using the Fed. And I don't want to necessarily go through, I want you to get this book. It's that good. But what I want you to understand is specifically the bigger issues. Every single day, if you listen to the news, watch the news, read the paper, you'll hear things about Bernanke, the Fed. You'll see stock ticket references. The Dow is up, NASDAQ, Standard & Poor's. We are immersed in this thing called the Fed and investment and stock and Wall Street without really anybody coming and explaining, here's how it applies to you. Here's why it's important. Here's what it means. Well, Doug Roberts joins us right now. Again, if you go to our website at linaonline.com, a link to his book. Doug, welcome to the Lionel Show.
Thanks, Lionel. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Now, Doug, I was talking to you before, and I find this most, most interesting. For those people now, I mean, our audience is extremely astute, but right now, for those who need perhaps a refresher initially, the Fed, the Federal Reserve, we are told to believe, a lot of people who believe in, dare I say, conspiracy theories and the like, who watch DVDs with ominous music, are told to believe that something that it's nefarious, it's a central banking system, it's the CFR and the Rockefellers and the Trilateral Commission. What is the Fed? Do we need it today? Is it helpful? And where did it come from?
The Fed is actually the banks to all banks. They're the ones who, when your banks get into trouble, when they need money and credit, they regulate the money in this country. Without the Fed, you know, prior to that, you would have chaos. And prior to the establishment of the Fed, you did have a lot of the so-called robber barons, the major families that you were referring to, the Rockefellers. They were in charge of the banking system. They were in charge of stabilizing it. But as was mentioned, they also made a profit, really, in the process. The Fed was a compromise to kind of give them a central authority to maintain, you know, I guess, stabilization, to prevent basically the ups and downs in the economy, smooth things out, but to eliminate the profit incentive that really the Rockefellers and the other robber barons had associated with it. So it's interesting that it actually, the Fed was created. It was really the big bank to really solve a lot of the problems that you were talking about among the conspiracy theorists.
Right. Now, Doug, being honest, as you are, is the Fed, get ready for this tough question, a good thing? Do we need it? Because when I hear people sometimes speak regarding it, they'll say, you know, there's nowhere in the Constitution for the Fed. It was created extra-governmentally. It is an appendage. It is unnecessary. The Fed is very, very vital and necessary, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you didn't, for one thing, it's really the Fed and the entire banking complex that basically allows you to deposit money in your bank and know that even if your bank gets into problems, your money is protected, that you'll get your money back. Without the Fed, you know, you could go back to the old bank failures where if you were late coming to the bank and they shut down, you could lost your entire savings.
Now, Doug, as you know, people are reading, we're not sure necessarily how this intermingles or how this interconnects, but there isn't a day where you can see the front page of the paper or a paper where you don't see pictures of foreclosure signs. We know terrible things are happening. We know there's a mortgage crisis, a credit crunch. We know the dollar is dipping. It's right now lower than the Filipino Kruger end. It's a mess, outsourcing. Does the Fed have anything to do with this? Can it help?
Yeah, the Fed can help, but you have to remember the Fed is a central bank. It's not the global financial savior. And with regard to the lower dollar, that's a two-headed sword, because on one side you have the negatives with it really causing higher oil prices, higher prices across the board. But at the same time, it also for the first time has made us competitive manufacturally on a manufacturing base and helped ease some of the recessionary pressures that we're having on the economy.
Now, that's a great point. If I'm an exporter, Doug Roberts, again, whose website is followthefedthebook.com. By the way, next time, work on a longer title, if you could, for your URL. But that's another story. But it's on our website. There is a link. Right now, if you're an exporter, the dollar being low is fantastic for you, is it not?
Absolutely. And actually, it's interesting because on the manufacturing base, this is the first time in how many years we're talking, at least Detroit is talking about the possibility of eventually America becoming an exporter of cars. When was the last time you heard that? And that does create jobs for the American economy.
Now, there's another problem, too. I am a Krugman fan, certainly not on his level and certainly not on yours when it comes to all things financial and that sort of thing. But I do find this notion of a shadow banking system and this weird world of securities that really are not subject to classical regulatory protections that Krugman and others have talked about. Of the three candidates that we're looking at, well, maybe two, Obama and McCain, do anybody, and Hillary as well, do any of them have a plan, a cogent, doable plan to perhaps address these problems?
Not really, because not really, I'd have to say. I mean, right now it's a hot potato. Nobody really wants to say anything that could upset people because you're in an election year. Really, I guess probably the come home to meeting roost, where basically people have to address these issues, will come after the November election when people figure they're at least 2 to 4 years away from the next election.
Now, you mentioned we were talking before. Paul Volcker gave a very interesting speech regarding the regulatory scheme that needs to be in place. Did he not?
Yeah, he actually gave probably the most cogent speech analysis of really, you know, what's required. We have a regulatory framework, and I think Paul Krugman has also talked about this as well, that was really put in place largely after the Depression. Things have changed quite a bit with our banking system, you know, since the Depression, but really the regulatory framework has not changed. So what they really need to do is kind of address, you know, what's required for the 21st century. There are a lot of institutions that really weren't around, that were under a different set of laws. They're talking about like savings and loans and thrifts. And, you know, I mean, that was a major part of our economy 30 years ago. It's really not as much now, yet they deal very little with investment banks. And also we're talking about something that's unique. As a result of free trade, really the international banking system has globalized. So right now a problem that occurs, let's say, in Japan or China can have a major ripple effect over here. So you really almost have to do something on an international scale.
What was that phrase years ago that says when somebody sneezes, we get a cold, or vice versa?
Absolutely.
Now, Doug Roberts, if you had to explain something, this morning I was watching the Today Show. Why? I have no idea. And there was the head of, Exxon or something. And somebody was asking him, would you please explain to me how you're making $10 billion last quarter when your production has gone down 10% and that $10 billion record profit is dwarfed only by the previous quarter's $11 billion. Why is oil so high? Let's get into specifics. What is going on? Because there's oil. It's not like we're running out of it yet. Why do you explain it as being so high? Or how do you explain it?
One word, Lionel, and that's cars. Essentially, it comes down to something as simple as this. You have a group of people in the developing world, specifically China and India, who were riding bicycles before. They're now driving cars. And right now, that, you know, when you take a couple hundred million people here, a couple hundred million people there, you get them driving cars, that can increase the demand for oil exponentially. You also found this, by the way, right now in the late 60s, early 70s, and that was really from World War II, because after World War II, kind of the rest of the world was decimated, and you had one choice, one place you could buy, and that was the United States. Then gradually they rebuilt. Japan became a competitor. Europe started to assume their previous role as one of the major powers in the world, And the middle class and the working class started driving more cars. That increased the demand for gas. The same thing's happening really overseas. You're seeing in China, even though it calls itself a communist economy, it bears no resemblance to the days of Chairman Mao. And people aren't walking, they're not riding bicycles, and as you start seeing people driving cars, it increases the demand for gasoline.
And the same thing's happening with India, and look at how China pays our debt, owns us. That frightens me to know when. There's not going to be any more wars in the future, the way we thought about in the old days. If China wanted to do us in, what if they decided and others decided, and it will be probably to their peril, but Doug Roberts, what if they decided not to pay our debt, not to buy our T-bills? What happened to us?
Well, I'd say probably it's like a Siamese twin, and that's really the scary thing. You have to realize that the United States and China are sharing, you know, a lot of things together. If you sit there and try to split a Siamese twin without delicate surgery, you end up killing them both, or at least one of them. If they decided not to pay their debt, then their currency right. would appreciate, and then all of a sudden we might start buying from another East Asian economy in terms of goods there. So it's almost like, I guess probably the analogy I could use is by buying our debt, it's kind of like China's extending credit. When you sit there and you try to sell a good, somebody owns a store, if you don't give people a credit card to basically put their money and you just demand cash, you don't take credit, you know, you're going to be at a disadvantage to somebody else who is extending credit.
Well, Doug Roberts, I'll tell you, I appreciate you being with us, because if you want to, if anybody wants to understand, if they want to invest, whether it's a 401k or any kind of a retirement vehicle, we, I think, are sometimes economically illiterate when it comes to basic fundamentals. You know, you have to understand a little bit about the superstructure and the big picture. And I want to thank you for being with us. The book is called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And if you go to our website, there is a link to it. Doug Roberts, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Lionel. I enjoyed it.
You got it. More coming up on the Lionel Show, 866-303-2270.